Okay, let's just do a very brief recap of what we said. I've got it. Brief recap of what we said last week, and I want to just explore three or four more issues pertaining to the broader topic that perhaps highlight the yesod that we tried to develop at the very end. We noted that there are a number of stiros within Shitas HaRambam regarding whether Ksuba is Midaraisa or Midarabanan. He explicates in a number of places that Ksuba is Midarabanan, and yet indicates elsewhere that it's Midaraisa. He says that the mitzvah of Nisuin is Lisa Isha B'Ksuba B'Kiddushin. He says that Ksuba is one of the things that distinguishes a Pilegesh from a full-fledged wife. He says that, and most poignantly, we noted that he paskins like Rabbi Meir in the Gemara, who says that if you are poches min haksuba, if you detract from the initial 200 the amount of a ksuba, it's like bias nus. He says it doesn't work, and we said that that is the position of Rabbi Meir, but only within ksuba de araisa. The Rambam says that within ksuba midrabanan. The Rambam says that despite his general psak of ksuba midrabanan. So we suggested, based on a whole host of other makoros, to brutally summarize, we suggested that perhaps the Rambam holds that ksuba itself as an institution is midrabanan, but it fulfills a broader kiyum midoraisa. We spoke about how sometimes you have a mitzvah derabanan that fills a kiyum deoraisa. The Rambam, at the beginning of the 14th parak of Hilchos Avel, lists all sorts of mitzvahs: bikur cholim, hachnasas orchim, mitzvah l'sameach chasen v'kala. He says all these are mitzvahs derabanan, but within all of them there is a kiyum of what? Of v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha. There is a mitzvah derabanan with a kiyum deoraisa. We suggested that that's perhaps what a ksuba is as well. Ksuba is shalotehe kala be'inav lehotzia. It ensures a certain stability to the marriage, a certain level of commitment on part of the husband to the marriage. We noted that the Gemara originally calls it a knas, which seems like, oh, it's just technically there to make sure that she has money in the event of a divorce. But the Gemara objects to characterizing it as a knas and ultimately calls it a takana. And we suggested that perhaps what's going on in the Gemara over there that's reflective of this broader question as to whether this is merely a technical institution to ensure that she has financial stability, or something achieving something greater in the ishos. It's achieving that level of commitment that's expected in order to maintain the kedushas ha'ishos of a Jewish marriage. We noted how that's reflected also in the method of Jewish divorce, the Yerushalmi about get, and perhaps that's what the Rambam is trying to communicate. It's true that ksuba itself, the technical chiyuv of mamon, the monetary obligation, is rabbinic in origin. They're the ones who made the takana, and therefore when it comes to details of the ksuba, like which currency we use, what quality of grain she collects from, and similar issues that pertain to the details, the technical details of the ksuba itself, the Rambam says ksuba is midrabbanan. When it pertains to the broader ethic and idea that the ksuba represents, the Rambam holds that ksuba is midoraisa, it has a kiyum deoraisa, and therefore the Rambam says if you're poches min haksuba, it's like be'ilas nus. That's why the mitzvah to marry a woman is lisa isha b'ksuba b'kiddushin, because that really embodies and captures what the ishos is supposed to be like. So I want to go through again, like I said, three or four more issues that perhaps highlight this. The first is the issue that Morty has been bugging me about every single day since we started this sugyo, which is the question of how do we understand the man de amar ksuba de oraisa? So let's take a look at source 28. It's on page 7. This is a Tosas in Sota Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. We actually saw this Gemara when we were doing Kashem She'asur Leba'al Kachasur Leba'al. Tosas say Ish L'Rabos Ish Es Chiresh. There's a drasha in the Gemara that says that an Ish Es Chiresh is also prohibited to her husband in the event of Kinoy and Stira. And Tosas says as follows: Nira de Ikar Kra, right after the Dibra Maschal in source 28, Nira de Ikar Kra Lo Itzdarich Ela La Osra Leba'al Uleba'al Al Yidei Kinoy Zeh. Aval mishum leposla miksubasa lo tzarech kra. He says, Tosas say the drasha from the pasuk is intended to teach you that she is prohibited to both the husband and the boel, but it's not really there to teach you that she loses her ksuba. Why? Tosas explained to ha'afilu Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, because even according to Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, to Amar Perek Basra de Ksubos, who says in the final parak of Ksubos, the Gemara Daf Kuf Yud, which we saw in the first shiur that we had on this topic, Ksubas Isha De'oraisa, even Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says Ksubas Isha De'oraisa, fourth line, second word, Lav Mamish De'oraisa, Ela Islay Smach Mi De'oraisa. Tosfos say even the man de'amar who holds ksuba mi de'oraisa doesn't hold that the ksuba itself is de'oraisa. It has something to rely on from a de'oraisa perspective. And that's in a sense, Tosfos are taking the perspective of ksuba de'oraisa and saying something similar to what we were suggesting for the Rambam within ksuba mi de'rabbanan. Tosfos are saying even the man de'amar ksuba de'oraisa doesn't hold that the document itself is a biblical document. It's that there's something, there's a smach, there's something that we can rely on from the pasuk, but this is Tosfos. Within the man de'amar ksuba de'oraisa, they're saying even the man de'amar who holds ksuba de'oraisa,
where does he get it from?
That's they're saying. Look, there's no based on all the issues that you were highlighting, right? There's no real pasuk for it. Clearly, the monetary amount is not de'oraisa. So Tosfos will say that it's not really de'oraisa; it's just a smach de'oraisa. As we'll see, it also emerges from the language of the Gemara. Take a look at source 29, the Rashba, who makes a similar point. Let's just start from the underline. De lo lam duha ela mishum de afke rachman al klas b'lashon mohar. Okay, that's again. We noted that the makor according to Rashi is mohar habesulos yimharen alak and mohar habesulos. Right, he gives her the mohar habesulos in the case of ones umafata. A man seduces an unmarried woman. There's a certain fine that he has to pay. That's called mohar habesulos. And the Rashi is pointing out there's no pasuk that tells you that you have to write a ksuba. They learned it from the fact that we have this language of mohar. Third line in source 29, again, second word, samchu chachamim, sheyesh mohar lebesulos v'hainu ksuba. Look at the language, samchu chachamim. He doesn't say that it's a de'oraisa. They use this as a smach, as some form of indication that there is this mohar lebesulos, and what is that mohar? That's a ksuba.
Pchol echad. But then you're putting it on to non-besulos, to a bu'ul.
That's certainly, everybody agrees that that's derabban.
Oh, so.
Everybody agrees that that's derabban. Manda Amar Ksuba de Oraisa only holds that it's de Oraisa by Absula. When I was filling out the first Ksuba that I filled out, I was doing Shemesh Lebehin, and it was a wedding from the shul, and it was a second marriage for both the man and the woman. And it's cool, I never actually I've learned Ksubos, but you know, it was everything. I don't know how these things apply themselves practically. I'm always in, just the lumdus. So he was showing me how, like, the RCA has a guide to filling out different things. And then we got to the part of Dechazu Laichi, which we're going to discuss tonight. And because it was a second marriage, we wrote Dechazu Laichi Midrabana, as opposed to Dechazu Laichi Midoraisa. So I got very excited when I saw that. And Raheem's like, you're enjoying that. I'm like, yeah, I mean, it's the whole Ksuba, Sugya of Ksuba Doraisa, Ksuba Dorabana, playing itself out on a piece of paper. But when you appreciate the lumdos behind things, they get very excited, even though it was just writing the word Derabanan.
They always say Basula, even if the person may not necessarily be a Basula?
I've never experienced. I assume they do, yeah.
They do.
Yeah, you know from experience.
No.
Basula, I think, I mean, technically a man means virgin. I guess we use it to mean, I mean, the Chazal contrast Basula with Almana. Clearly the assumption being that either you're one or the other, but question becomes, what happens when you have someone who's neither?
And Gioris is always considered a ba'ula, even though...
And we still write...
Ba'ula, even though she might be a basula. I mean...
So we treat her as...
A ba'ula, I think.
Right, we don't write... That's not the word we use on a ksuba.
I'm just saying, but whatever they do, I don't think...
They use some other word on the ksuba. Very interesting. Okay, that I actually didn't know.
If she's a baby, depending on when she...
When the Gior happened.
Right.
Right, Tachos, Mibas Gimel, or older. Right, that's what it will be contingent on. But in any event, so yeah, so it's only derabbanan by an almana or a grusha. But says the Rashba, they had samchu chachamim. Again, this is source 29 on page 7. We're on the third line. Samchu chachamim sheish mohar lebesulos v'hainu ksuba v'chol echad kosev kirtzono im ma'at v'im harbei. This was your point, Morty, right? Everyone writes whatever they feel is appropriate, whether it's a lot or a little. Right? Then the Rabbanon came along and instituted that every Basula should receive 200. The Lashon of the Gemara is Mikan Samchu to say Ksuba de Oraisa. That's the diok that undoubtedly Tosas and Sota and the Rashba is explicitly picking up on. The language is Samchu. Etc. We're not going to go into the end of the Rashba. Point being, again, even the Manda Amar Ksuba de Oraisa for the Rashba and Tosfos holds that it's a Smach de Oraisa. Okay, it's a deoraisa concept, but the institution itself is not strictly deoraisa, and that's very similar to what we're suggesting for the Rambam. And finally, source 30, it's in the Ritva as well. Again, let's just do the underlines. Al mishum de afke rachmana b'lshon mahar yalif mina, similar to the Rashba. The Ritva had two rebbeim, the Ra'ah and the Rashba. His primary rebbe was the Ra'ah. His secondary rebbe was the Rashba, which is actually interesting because the Ra'ah and the Rashba were both talmidim of the Ramban, but they get at each other's throats in certain contexts. The Rashba wrote this work called Torah Sabayis on all the halachos of kashras, and the Ra'ah wrote a scathing critique, and the Rashba wrote a scathing counter to the Ra'ah's critique. So, Rav Aaron Alevi, he was one of the great talmidim of the Ramban. So, he was the primary Rebbe of the Ritva, but very often the Chidushei HaRitva closely mirror what you have in the Rashba and the Ramban. It's always important to see where they diverge, and there are always nuances in terms of how they formulate things. But within the school of Chachmei Sfarad, you have the Ramban and the Rashba and the Ritva and the Ran, and usually there are similarities between them. Very often they're following the footsteps of the Ramban. Sometimes they challenge the Ramban, but so the Ritva here, it's not surprising that he uses the same language as the Rashba. Al mishum de afker achmana b'lshon mohar yalef mina Reb Shimon Gamliel yesh lo b'sula mar min haTorah. Aval ein lo kitzva min haTorah ela kafima sheyirzu kafima sheyaskimu haChachamim. Again, he says there's no amount that's oraisa. It's really what they want, what the Chachamim agree to. And then second underline, mikan samchu chachamim luksubas ishim in haTorah. Again, that's the language. Samchu chachamim. Kalomar matzu smach latakin la shem ksuba min haTorah. Upasku shetehem asayim kesef shamadina. Pchein pir sharam banzal, etc. So like, as you were saying the whole time, Marty, why don't we use shkalim? Why don't we use shkalim? So I actually didn't quote the line in Tosas where they addressed that issue head on, but the basic idea is that all these Rishonim are asserting that even the manda amar ksuba de oraisa is just this smach, this idea min haTorah, but the Rabbanon are the ones who fill out the details. And I'm suggesting that perhaps, I mean, this is all based on Rav Rosenzweig, as I told you last week, that this is very similar to what the Rambam is trying to convey about the nature of ksuba. The concept of shalot hekala be'inav lehotziah is a de'oraisa concept. It is a kiyum mi de'oraisa, even though the details are mi de'rabban. Fine. Let's see three issues that perhaps...
Why in the Gemara did they say it's a smach? I mean, you know, it's very nice to say 1,000 years later that it's samchu, even talking to de'oraisa. But if the Gemara is talking from Shimon ben Leo, de'oraisa, then... It's stating that it's a
doraisa. No, mikan samchu chachamim. They're making.
Lomar doesn't say that. He doesn't.
Yeah, that's the language. That's the language. Lomar mikan samchu chachamim lomar ksubas yishu midoraisa. That's the language somewhere. It's a diuk of the Rishonim. That's the way they're learning it, based on conviction, based on.
It's basically that there's no pasuk.
There's.
The Gemara says Rav Shimon ben Gamliel omer ksubas yishu min haTorah. It doesn't say.
Yeah, I didn't give you the rest of the Gemara though. I think they're quoting the Gemara, that they're all making the same diuk. And as Chaim's pointing out, they're making a diuk from the fact that there's no explicit pasuk, and from the fact that that, like you pointed out, Morty, there's clearly no amount specified in the Torah.
Right.
So no, you have that. You have worse than that. You have cases where there's an explicit pasuk in the Torah, and the Rishonim say it's an asmachta ba'alma. Here, there's clearly reason to suspect that it's not a strict oraisa.
Then why did Rabbi, you know...
That the Gemara doesn't... It's not the most troubling question.
Not so much to protect her, but so that he shouldn't get rid of her, so he should think twice.
That's the Gemara. That says, Shalot tehe kala ve'inav lehotziya. That's the Gemara Ksuba Safiyot. And that is nafkaminas, because, as we pointed out, what if she sells her Ksuba to somebody else? So she's not going to receive anything in the event of divorce, but he will still have to pay 200, right? So I'm going to have to pay, he's going to have to pay 200 to you rather than to the wife. So if it's about her having financial security after the divorce, there should be a problem, right? Because she's not receiving anything. She sold you the ksuba.
Yeah, but she maybe got something in return that made it worthwhile. Of course,
she probably did, but at this point, maybe she blew it all in Atlantic City or whatever.
No, because I was thinking if it's for protecting the woman, I might think that an almana should really get a higher ksuba than a bazula, because you know, once he divorces her, and she may have kids if she's an almana, she might be more vulnerable and have a harder time remarrying. And
really? Why would you say that? Because it's the second marriage as opposed to a first marriage?
Yeah. She's less desirable to wait to a suitor.
She's been married 10 years.
Because she's married twice?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe. It's really shalot tehekala be'inav lehotziya, which is why, again, in the case of the sale, as long as I'm going to be hurt, as long as the baal is going to be hurt in the pocket in the event of divorce, it works.
It doesn't have to be also, by saying... If he dies, still has to give a ksuba, and that wouldn't make a difference because he's not getting rid of her. It's not easy enough. So It's only that she has a some kind.
That's a good point. It's not a bad point. It's not a bad point. Clearly, so you're just pointing out that clearly it's not just shalotei kalbein of lotzia. Otherwise, why would you receive a ksuba in the event of death? It's not a bad point. Clearly, there's a security element too. But the broader ethic is shalotei kalbein of lotzia, as expressed by the Gemara. And we're suggesting that that's the deoraisa component of ksuba. A couple of things to take a look at. What do we write in our ksubas, right? And this is the issue that I was just highlighting before when I was filling out that first ksuba with the Rahin. We write, right? We have a whole fancy language of the ksuba. Maybe it will be worthwhile for us at some point to actually sit down with the ksuba and just go through the language and point out what's where. Because there's actually a lot going on in the ksuba, even beyond Maseches Ksubos. There's a lot of Bava Basra stuff going on in the ksuba because the ksuba consists of a shibud. You're saying that even if I run out of money, my property is going to be meshubad to you, and she's going to be able to take it. And creating a shibud requires all sorts of fancy language. There's interesting stuff in the difference between Ashkenazi ksubos and Sephardi ksubos. Maybe kedai. Maybe we'll do one more shir, just going through the actual language of a ksuba. But one of the things that we say is that these ma'os are chazu laichi mide oraisa, right? These monies are owed to you from the Torah, or are fitting for you from a Torah level, on a deoraisa level. So what? Does that mean we're paskening ksuba deoraisa? Most Gemaras assume ksuba derabanan. So Tosfos in Source 25, Tosfos in Source 25 addressed this question. Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel Chachanim Tiknu Lehem Ksuba, right, fine. Says Tosfos, Mashma de ksuba derabanan. This Gemara implies that ksuba is midrabanan, and that's why we said that he's ne'eman to lehafsida ksubasa, chazaka in adam toreach besu'uda umafsida. He's not going to engage in the preparations for the wedding and then just get rid of her. So ksuba is midrabanan. B'chein beha isha rabba. We see that in Yivamos, that peites of an aleph as well. Gabe ein lo ksuba, ka'amar maitaino takinu lo rabbanan ksuba, shalo tehekala ba'in of lehotzia. Basically, in short, Tosfos are quoting another Gemara in Yivamos, which explicates why is it that the Rabbanan instituted a ksuba, maitaima takinu lo rabbanan ksuba, clearly indicating that ksuba is a takana to Rabbanan, shalo tehekala ba'in of lehotzia. That's what we've been referencing. Says Tosfos in the underline, al mastama de hashas sabar de ksuba de Rabbanan. So clearly the default assumption in the Gemara is that ksuba is midrabanan. The kasha, there's a problem with that. Dinagu lifto b'ksuba, kesef zuze masan dechazu laichi mide oraisa. What do we write in every ksuba? Dechazu laichi mide oraisa. But the Gemara generally assumes that ksuba is midrabanan. The Amar Rabbeinu Tam, now take a look at the language. The language here is key. The Amar Rabbeinu Tam, desamchinon arab shimon ben gamliel demasnisin de perak basra, the Maisi Lanami Basamak, the Omer Nosan Lamimos Kapotkiya, the Kasavak Subadaraisa. Kaimalan Kibshim Lamishasinu. What does Rabbeinu Tam say? There is a position out there, Rabbeinu Shimon ben Gamliel, who holds Ksubadaraisa. And what does he say? Samchinon Arab Shimon ben Gamliel. A bit of an interesting language. We're so mech on Rabbeinu Shimon ben Gamliel. Tozarash, in Source 26, gives us a more clear language. What does he say? Time might akinu lo rabbanan ksuba. Tosa Rush says what? Rabbeinu Tam holds that ksuba is indeed mide oraisa. The Gemara all over the place says that ksuba is mide rabbanan, says the Tosa Rush. That's not referring to a besula, it's referring to a bu'ula. Tosa Rush says, l'pirush Rabbeinu Tam, ksuba is de oraisa. But that wasn't the language of Tosas itself. Tosa said, samchinon, Arab Shimon ben Gamliel. That ambiguity leads the Shita Megubetzes in Source 27 to comment as follows. V'omer Rabbeinu Tam, t'samchinon Arab Shimon ben Gamliel demasdisin t'perek basra, maisi lebesamach, etc., etc. He quotes Rabbeinu Tam. V'yesh li lomar, underline. D'lav ishum d'svira leil Rabbeinu Tam d'halacha k'Rab Shimon ben Gamliel kasav kain. Rabbeinu Tam is not saying that we hold like, that we paskin like Rab Shimon ben Gamliel. The Rabbeinu Tam himself noted that all over the place, the Gemara assumes that ksuba is midrabanan. Shita Megubetzes is saying, don't learn Rabbeinu Tam the way the Tosas Arush learned the Rabbeinu Tam, that Rabbeinu Tam holds ksuba de oraisa, and that every single one of those Gemaras is talking about an almana or a grusha. Rabbeinu Tam does not hold halacha k'Rab Shimon ben Gamliel. Ela deparish de ha'olam nohagu lichtov kein b'ksuba, kedei lahachmir b'dinei ha'ksuba, kedinei ha'olam. Why do we write it that way? So that we should be machmir b'dinei ksuba, as if ksuba were mide oraisa. As we noted, there are all sorts of nafkaminas between ksuba mide rabbanan and ksuba mide oraisa. What we're saying, according to the Shita Begubetzes, is that it is true, ksuba is technically midrabanan, but we treat it as a deoraisa in order to elevate the level of chov of a ksuba. Bilav, he continues, b'samchu ad Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. What was the lashon of Rabbeinu Tam? Samchin on Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. He says that's why we're so make Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Bilav had Rav Shimon ben Gamliel lo hayu kosvin kein. Afilu kedei lahachmir. If it weren't for Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, we wouldn't have just fabricated this notion that ksuba is midoraisa. We're not going to turn a derabanan into a deoraisa. But once we have this position in the Gemara that ksuba is midoraisa, and we have some desire to treat a ksuba like a deoraisa, even though it isn't, therefore, we'll be able to write Chazu Leichim Midoraisa, like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Samchinon Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Kivin, he says, but if it weren't for Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, lo hayu kosvin kein afilu kedei lahachmir, kivin doleika manda amar hachi. And he says at the end, v'dok, he says, pay attention to the language like we did, de shekosav de samchinon ad Rav Shimon ben Gamliel mesnisin. What does Rabbeinu Tam say? Samchinon ad Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. V'lo katzar upasak lahed yakir Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Shita Begubetzes says, look at the language of Rabbeinu Tam. He doesn't say what the Tosafot HaRash said. He doesn't say halacha k'Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. He says samchin on Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. What is it? Ksuba is midrabanan, but we want to treat it as deoraisa. What is that? What is this? Kedei lahachmir b'dinei ksuba to treat it as deoraisa, samchin on Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. I suggest that this is the exact same phenomenon that we've been referring to until now. Ksuba intrinsically is midrabanan. But the ethic that ksuba embodies, the idea that it represents, what we are trying to achieve, what we are trying to represent in terms of the ishos, that is a deoraisa concept. The notion that there should be the stability of the marriage, this commitment to the marriage, commitment to the relationship, that's a deoraisa concept. So it's true, the Shita Begubetzes says, ksuba is technically mi deoraisa. But we want to elevate it. We want to show that there is something more to the ksuba, so we write the chazu laichi mi deoraisa, even though technically ksuba is mi derabanan. What? That's what they're showing. That's what the Shita Begubetzes is saying.
With everything, can't you say that with everything, the Rabbanan are always doing things, you know, that enhance the deraisa?
Yeah.
Get
you
the
deraisa.
One second. Yeah. Well, let me skip both questions.
Say exactly. You don't have to make it that difficult.
What do you mean that difficult?
You just say there's a chov.
The question is really,
in like any other,
is are you saying that really it's a derabanan, but Rav Shimon Gamliel says like a deraisa, so we're going to be choshesh for Rav Shimon Gamliel's position because we want to have it very strict.
He's not saying we're choshesh for the position.
Not choshesh. We are accepting Rav Shimon Gamliel's strictness that it's a deraisa. But really, you could say clear cut the other way. Say it's a derabbanan. Everybody holds it to Rabbanan. But since this is a derabbanan which we hold of the highest magnitude of importance, we are going to now make it a very strict Rabbanan and apply to a deraisa type.
Yeah, you can. You can.
And where do you get that from? Where do you get the fact that you can do such a thing? Shimon ben Gamliel.
How do you get that from Shimon ben Gamliel? He holds like Ksuba deraisa if you don't adopt Tosafot and Sota.
Well, we still
have Tosafot
and Sota. I'm just saying you can say that Shimon
ben Gamliel. Maybe. You can learn the
Shita Begubetzes
without.
You can say, sometimes like Rav Shmuel, we say Rav Shmuel is always, Shmuel always takes the more strict position of the individual. So you can say that, but it still seems to be a problem that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel holds it as a doraisa. I mean, Rabbeinu Tam does not believe Rav Shimon ben Gamliel holds this as a doraisa.
Why doesn't he believe that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel holds
it
as a doraisa?
Like the doraisa.
No. Again, Tosafot and Sota said that it's not a real deoraisa. But we don't know what Rabbeinu Tam, as far as we know, holds that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel treats it as a real
deoraisa.
Yeah.
Okay. So then we can do that. You can say we just, on most cases, we go according to the Rabbim over here in this case because it's so strict, we take the
Tosafot. That's how the Tosafot, that's how the Tosafot Rush learns it. Tosafot Rush says we paskin like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. But again, if you look at the Shita Begubetzes, the Shita Begubetzes is not learning Rabbeinu Tam that way. It's not that we paskin like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel.
We don't hold it to deraisa. We hold it to derabanan with the features of a deraisa.
That's what the Shita Begubetzes is essentially saying. That's
a hybrid type.
Exactly the point. In other words, again, that's that he's being medayek in the language of Samchinon.
Like
that is a hybrid. So we gave a couple of examples last week, and that's what, getting back to you, Mordechai, right? A gzera to protect a deoraisa is not the same as a derabanan with a kiyum deoraisa. Let's just because it's coming up, let's take a look very quickly back. Well, look, I gave two examples last week. Look at source 14 quickly. Mitzvah zaseh shel divrehem levaker cholim ulenachem avelim ulehotzi hames ulehachnes hakala. Mitzvah zaseh shel divrehem means what? Is a mitzvah zaseh midrabanan to visit the sick, to comfort mourners, to take out a mace, to lachnis kala. He includes separately l'sameach hakala v'hachasan, right? All these halachos that are mitzvos derabanan, and then look at the underline. Aval pishakol mitzvos elu midivreihem, harehein bechlal v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha. They're included under the rubric of v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha. So it's not just that they set up a gzera to make sure, you know, they set up, I was actually going to give an example, that's not a good example, but they set up a gzera that you shouldn't ride a horse, that's also a bad example. What's a good gzera derabanan to protect a deoraisa? Pure siag. A derabanan just designed to protect a deoraisa. You know, they tell you not to take a shofar on Muktza. I want to stay away from Shabbos in general because of source 15. The other example of this is the Ramban, very famous and very important, a key Ramban al Torah. Everybody talks about what's Shabbosic and what's not Shabbosic. What? Okay, great, perfect. 6 hours, whatever. That's more of a minug, or 1 hour, which might be more halachic. Right, perfect. That's not a kiyum of the mitzvah of Lo Sifach Shelgadim B'Chalev Imam. It's just to protect you from violating. There are other cases where the mitzvah itself fulfills a deoraisa.
That's a
minhag,
or that's
the
issue of a drama when you wait 6 hours?
The six is minhag.
Six is a minhag.
But the one might be more halachic. Even really, what? Yeah, everything's... I mean, like, if you asked Rabbeinu Tam, you could really just... Rabbeinu Tam would just wash out his mouth, eat some stuff, and then go straight from... Sorry?
The two real shittos, right, are Basar
Bishanayim. Right, exactly. Or the Tam, or the lingering Tam. Rashi has a sort of language... has a little bit of an ambiguous language, but lingering Tam. Those are, like, the two positions. So, again, like I said, Rabbeinu Tam held that you could just go straight from... You know, the way we go from milk to meat, Rabbeinu Tam would go from meat to milk.
We
don't really have hard cheeses the way they used to have hard cheeses. I don't know if some people say Parmesan, but I'm not even sure if Parmesan qualifies as a hard cheese. Let's not get into the whole sugya there. It does talk about that. That somebody that quotes one of the Amoraim, but most say that was Amidas Chasidus. It wasn't like a. It's the Gemara in Chulin, I think. I'm not sure. I don't remember where that Gemara exactly appears. The other example I quoted is a very famous Ramban, a very important Ramban, which says there's a mitzvah asay of Shabbos. What is the mitzvah asay of Shabbos? So the Ramban says the mitzvah asay of Shabbos, that Shabbos should be a Yom Menucha. The Ramban says if it's a worthwhile passage for everyone to see. Source 15, worth looking through another time. But the Ramban says that theoretically, if you just had the 39 melachos, you'd come up with all sorts of different contraptions to avoid 39 melachos, and it would just be like a regular day. You'd go to work, okay, fine, you have a Shabbos switch, you do a shinoi here, you do another shinoi there. If it were just a matter of the deoraisas, you could get around all of them, circumvent them, and totally undermine the spirit of Shabbos. Says the Ramban, the mitzvah asay of Shabbos is to ensure that the spirit of Shabbos is maintained. In other words, this is one of the cases where the Ramban says the spirit of the law actually takes on the letter of the law. The mitzvah asay, the letter of the law, is preserve the spirit of Shabbos. And within saying so, the Ramban says that Shavuos, he quotes a medrash, which says that the mitzvah asay of Shabbos refers to Shavuos. What is Shavuos? The mitzvah derabanan of Shabbos. Essentially what he's saying is, all of the mitzvah derabanan of Shabbos are a fulfillment of this deoraisa asay of Shabbos. Okay? So sometimes you have cases where these mitzvah derabanan are the details are derabanan, but they are an expression of a larger mitzvah deoraisa. That's what I'm suggesting ksuba is similar to. Fine. And I think that really works very well with what the Shittim Gebetz is saying for Rabbeinu Tam. Shittim Gebetz is saying, no, it's not that ksuba is deoraisa. It's samchinon, Arab Shemim Gamliel. What we're trying to say is that let's treat the ksuba with a higher level of sanctity. Let's treat it, let's rely on Shemim Gamliel to chazu laichi mi deoraisa, even though, technically, strictly speaking, it's midrabanan. No, it's a shivur.
Is it a contract or is it something more than
it's a shibud? It's a shivur.
She's not signing. It's not a.
Yeah, no. So first of all, shivur is something totally different. Right. Let's leave shivur aside.
No, I don't like what a shivur means. If you want to say that it's a rabbanan, but it should be treated like a deraisa, why not let him take a shivur? I'm obligating myself.
We don't generally obligate shvuos. That would be called a shvuos bitui. When you take a shvua to say I will do this or I won't do that. We don't really obligate those kinds of shvuos. There are certain shvuos that we do require somebody to take. Those are called the shvuos hadayanin, collectively, plus shvuos heses, which is a derabanan shvua, and other types of derabanan shvuos also. But we don't generally like force somebody to say, oh, guarantee I will pay you. What we do is we create a shibud. What he essentially says is or it's a hischaivus. That's what we would call it. He agrees to pay her a certain amount. And he says that if I can't pay from my liquid assets, you'll be able to take X, Y, and Z. And he says, afilu miglimid al kasvoy, right? That's the language that we have in the ksuba, even from the shirt on my back. If I can't pay you, that's what you will take from. And we have a special shibud called de'ekni that occurs in a ksuba, where he says even future things that I will acquire will be effectively mishubad. I don't know a good English word for mishubad. Will be
lean.
Yeah, people use lean, but then you get into all... It's not, yeah. I don't know the details of real estate, like law. And every time I use lien, I get into trouble when there are lawyers in the room. Because they're like, no, it's not exactly a lien.
No,
lien
is a legal claim of
obligation.
It is owed to you. It is owed to you. It is designated as encumbrance, something to that effect. So
she doesn't need to sign this document because he is able to obligate
it. Yeah, absolutely. All you need is the da'as ha-meschayev. Great, that's going to be our next. That's going to be our next thing. But no, it's just funny you mentioned it. The first Tosfos in Perek Afal Pi. Perek Afal Pi, the fifth parak of Ksubos, is where the Gemara really starts talking about Ksuba. I mean, you have four Perekim and Maseches Ksubos, which talk about all sorts of different things within Shas, all sorts of different topics. Ksuba is called Shas Katan. And then the fifth parak really starts getting to the nuts and bolts of the document itself. So the first Tosfos in the parak on Daf Nundal Amud Beis says, this is ridiculous. All these guys, these Bachrim, are getting married. They don't have a penny to their name. They're obligating themselves 200 zuz. We know they can't pay it. They know they can't pay it. How are they able to be meschayev themselves if they don't have the money? It's like a bit of an amusing Tosfos. Tosfos give two answers as to how it's possible for them to create this shibud upon themselves, even though we know that they don't actually have the money.
Toshus is saying, oh,
I think,
you know, 200 zuzim is not stopping anybody.
It's not, I mean, usually, if
why
you...
Why don't they do that, by the way?
If you look at the RCA prenup, yeah, they don't, the ksuba, it's, no, the ksuba...
$7,000
slow down. The ksuba itself, nowadays, is not really going to what's going to ensure Shalotei Kalabein of Lotzia. If you look at the RCA prenup, I mean, you give them the right to adjudicate divorce. And what they say is that in the event of divorce, one of the options that you can check off is that they will do so in accordance with, they don't say in accordance with, because halachically you could get into issues if you use that exact lashon, but they say with a similar process to the secular courts or something to that effect.
So New York State takes care of it, you don't need the ksuba.
Right, exactly. In other words, the Beis Din will take care of it along the same grounds that a secular court would. They can't exactly say that because that gets into Arkaos Goyim issues, and there's a Chazanish, and there are issues to worry about if you would use
that's
that exact
what
language.
Anyway, so, but that's what happens.
Right. So it's nowadays you're not relying on the ksuba to ensure like a fair distribution of
so
the.
That's a good point. So, the ksuba,
and we also live in a very different world, right? I mean, back then the man was the breadwinner. And he was giving his wife something.
There were no state rules to take care of the woman.
That's true. And certainly, now in the New York State area, in most families, you have two working people. I think it's the majority. I think that's the norm at this stage.
New York State will get 50% of whatever.
No, but that's exactly what I'm saying. In other words, that nowadays, it's not even like the man has earned all the assets and he's giving it to the woman. The woman could be very well earning more than her husband.
We have to give something for the wife. I'll take Kala for now.
Yeah, there you go. She'll take Kala La Lehotzio to get rid of him, right? So why do we read the ksuba under the chuppah? That was Mordechai's next question, which is effectively, it was a pretty good question, right? What is a ksuba?
It's filler time.
It's filler times, right? It's all about what? It's about divorce, death. Why are we reading that at a chuppah? Take a look at source 38.
Well, that's the best time to teach the chassid. I mean, we know about it.
But it's certainly not the most romantic thing to read, right?
I don't think Jewish wedding in those days were...
Maybe we should read a prenup under the chuppah also, you know? Like, if you don't give her a get, then... Source 38. Ubirkas erusin v'nisuin, nagu lomar al shtei kosos. We have a birchas erusin and a birchas nisuin under the chuppah, right? The birchas erusin is... Shekhi the Shalom Mitzvah Zivanu, Allah Arayos, Vasar Lanu, Esu Arusos, Vhidir Lanu, Esanusu Osanu, etc., 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 etc. Fine. That's said ala kos. And then what is the Birchas Nisuin? The Shavu Brachos, right? So at any Jewish wedding, what do? They have one kos. Masad the Kiddushin holds it, says the Birchas Ayerson, and they give them both to drink. And then later, everybody comes up, says the Bracha on the Shavu Brachos, a separate kos, then they drink from that kos as well. But it wasn't always so pasha that this should be done on Tzvai kosos, as we would say, on two different kosos. Okay, maybe they should do it on one. Ubirkas erusin nisuin nagu lomar al shtei kosos. They would do it on two different kosos. V'tayma dirigilim zeh b'lo zeh k'da'amar b'ksubas mevarchin birchas erusin beveis erusin birchas chasanim beveis chasanim. Why did they do it on two kosos? Tosafot said because originally what was the practice? You do erusin at one point. A year later you do nisuin. You're not saving that cup and letting it sit around for a year. So they would do it on two kosos. What about b'zman hazeh? The ode, Tosafot say, to nohagu likros ksuba bein tayim, veheve hefsek, ulakach miskavnim, ulakach tzarech beis kosos. Why do we, this is the source for reading the ksuba under the chuppah. Why do we do it? Why do we, to create a hefsek between the erusin and the nisuin. Back in the day, they used to do erusin at point, on 1 year, and they used to do the nisuin a full year later, and now we do them both together, but at least to create some distinction between them, we read the ksuba. And because we have the kavana to have a hefsek between the erusin and the nisuin, we use two kosos. There's a story that says Rav Shlomo Kalbach that he was called up to read a ksuba, and of course he pulled out his guitar and started strumming it and reading the ksuba in this musical way. And somebody shouted at him, "Nu, it's a hefsek." He said, "Nu, that's exactly the point. That's exactly why we're reading this, to create a hefsek." They're yotzei with the bor priya gavin of whoever makes the bor priya gavin. Well, that's a big shaila, bracha achrona. Sometimes some poskim say don't have a melo lugmav when you're standing under the chuppah, so that you won't have to have a bracha achrona. Other people say you have to drink a melo lugmav. It's like it becomes a little complicated.
If I eat an apple, you can make a bracha for me, bor
priya. The question of whether or not you can say a birchas anen for somebody else is a big question. Generally, a kosher bracha might be different from. Of course it is. Bor priya gavin is brachas anenin.
So
like Kiddush. Exactly, like Kiddush. Yeah. Like Kiddush on Friday night. So kosher bracha, we have an exception. The Brisker Rav, that's something different. I'm sorry. The Brisker Rav is something different. Basically, kosher bracha is different from brachas anenin. Fine. Look at what Sefer Yashar Rabbeinu Tam says.
They don't say Alamech here. With the Sutta, they do it.
No, I don't remember. I went through like one of these kuntras lachasanim. I went through one of these like guidebooks to chasanim. I remember like they discussed the issue. I don't remember what the maskana was though. I'm pretty sure I didn't make a bracha. What?
You're probably just not drinking enough.
Right. But they sometimes want you to drink. What?
But they're drinking from the second coast.
They're drinking from each coast.
Right. So then I would think after the second, for sure.
I've never seen it.
I don't know. New chumra. But I don't know. I remember again. Let me try to look. I remember that there's a discussion of the issue in the postgame. What should they do? Bracha chrona. But I don't remember the maskana. So I'll look at it again. But look at source 39. I'm short on time. I don't know if we're gonna have time to finish everything. But let me try to at least cover source 39 and hopefully a couple of other ma'ariv kumis here. Here's the Sefer HaYashar. Now, a little bit of history behind source 39 before we actually do the source. There's this guy named Rabbeinu Meshulam. Rabbeinu Meshulam was from Provence. We don't know Provence is. Provence is this area to like the south of France, to the north of Spain, right? If you could picture the Iberian Peninsula, right? France is here, Spain is here. Provence is this area like right in between them, which was in the Middle Ages, it was a distinct political region, it was a distinct culture, a distinct language. Vikuach?
Vikuach with a priest, Rabbeinu Meshulam.
That was the Ramban.
No, that was Rabbeinu
Yechiel Miparis was in a famous Vikuach. But that was the 1240 Paris Sreifas HaTalmud. He lost that one. So this area of Provence. So this guy Rabbeinu Meshulam, and it was also a distinct intellectual culture among the Rishonim. So we always think of Ashkenaz and Sfarad. So first of all, Ashkenaz and Sfarad are not as simple categories as we think. There's Germany and there's France. Those are different. There's Muslim Spain and there's Christian Spain. Those are very different. Those are entirely different regions and cultures. But then we have this area called Provence. Who comes from Provence? The Ravid, the Baal HaMaor, the Meiri, okay? And then there's this guy named Rabbeinu Meshulam. We don't know much about Rabbeinu Meshulam except as follows. He comes to Ashkenaz and he starts changing some of the Ashkenazi Minhagim that go back to Rashi. And Rabbeinu Tam is not having it. Rabbeinu Tam rips him. Like tshuva after tshuva, he's attacking viciously this guy, Rabbeinu Meshulam. And one of the issues is this question.
Rashi, if Rabbeinu Tam is alive, then it's probably not so far off from
Rashi. No, it's not so far. Let's say there was a 100-year-old Minhagim. Let's say these are 100-year-old Minhagim. But they were the Minhagi Rashi. It's not the length, it's that they were Rashi's Minhagim. And Rabbeinu Tam is saying, fine, all right, I'll challenge Rashi's Seder HaTfilin, but like, who are you to start messing with my grandfather's Minhagim? This is Rashi we're talking about. And again, we don't know about the stature of Rabbeinu Meshulam. We have no reason to assume that he wasn't a great Talmud Chacham, but he wasn't the Ravid. He wasn't like, he wasn't Rabbeinu Tam. Nobody in Rabbeinu Tam's generation was like Rabbeinu Tam. He was, he treaded in a class of his own. That's another interesting separate historical topic. Rabbeinu Tam and his Talmud Duri were kind of like in the way Chaim Soloveitchik put it once. They contemporaries of Rabbeinu Tam did not treat him with respect or even with reverence, but with awe. Rabbeinu Tam opened up Gemara learning in a way that it had never been studied before. The whole notion of like pulling, what is a Tosfos? Pulls together all of Shas, asking contradictions from all different areas, coming up with resolutions that really develop the halacha. We really almost owe like all of the significant, not everything.
Jesus,
I mean,
style of learning.
Totally, forever.
He wasn't always accepted by everybody in his time.
No, in his time, Rabbeinu Tam, people realized that this is.
Because there was some talk I heard that some of his dialectical processes were thought to come from non-Jewish sources.
Yeah, that's a modern academic thing.
I've read that.
Yeah, Christians were definitely engaging in the same enterprise at the same time. It's very hard to prove a direct influence from one to the other. That's
no, I mean, it's, again. It's normal. I mean, that's
so what?
There would be no problem. There would be no problem if it were the case. He's just taking a methodology that he sees works in another discipline, right, and applying it to Torah. There would be no problem. But academics are very quick to note certain broad trends and say, "Oh, it must be the same thing." And as more quality academics have pointed out, including Chaim Soloveitchik, it's very hard to prove a direct influence. But it's definitely true that Christians are doing the same thing. The Dominican friars, Lahavdil, Elif Alfa Havdolos, are doing something similar with their canon law. Rabbeinu Tam forever changes the way Gemara is learned, and people recognize that. He was like really just high above everyone else.
His father was Rashi's son, or his daughter was Rashi's
son? Rashi had no sons. Right. So Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashbam, two of the great Baalei HaTosfos, were brothers. They were both grandsons of Rashi. Look at what Rabbeinu Tam says. I don't know if we're gonna be able to finish. Maybe we'll have one more next week on Thursday night, if that's okay. I'll send out an email clarifying, and then we'll take off Thanksgiving week, and then we'll switch to Sanhedrin. You can't make it Thursday? Every Thursday night. We're gonna try to I think for me it's better if we switch to Thursday, and if it's not working for anyone, then we'll work from there. But we'll see how Thursday works. But take a look at what Rabbeinu Tam says here. Take a look at what Rabbeinu Tam says to Rabbeinu Meshulam. This is one of the things that he did not like that Rabbeinu Meshulam tried to change. First, he's quoting Ela Mistabra de Ikar Mitzvah La Asoson Vekosach. And he's quoting the I gave you the section of the Sefer Yashar where he's quoting Rabbeinu Meshulam, not the part where he rips Rabbeinu Meshulam to shreds. But take a look at what happens. Ela Mistabra de Ikar Mitzvah La Asoson Vekosach. How ilume inyan echadu. Okay, Rabbeinu Meshulam says that the best thing to do is to do them both on one kos because they are inyan echadu. Kiddushin, Nisuin, they're part of one continuum. They are part of one process. So, it's better to do it on one kos. Now we know that's in contrast to what we just saw in Tosos was the Minhag and Ashkenaz. V'matem rotzim la'amod b'minhag b'beis kosos te'hei kertzonchem. He says, look, if you, this again, this is Rabbeinu Meshulam talking. If you want to do it on two kosos, All right, you could do that. Vada im ha'yisem nogim k'rabinu shlomo lahafsik ulehestalek v'lasok b'inyan acher v'likros b'ksuba v'acher kach birkas nisuin zeh ha'yayafem mikulam. This is remarkable. Look at what he says now, okay?
So Shlomo is Rashi?
Yeah, for sure. He says, the best is to do it on one kos. If you want to do it on two kosos, that's okay. Then he says, Vada yemayisem nogim karabinu Shlomo lahafsuk luhistalik v'lasuk b'inyon achar v'likros b'ksuba v'achar kach b'chaz nisuin zeh yafim yikulam. What is the best thing to do? Lahafsuk between them. Now, it's a little ambiguous here. Is he talking about if you're doing it on two kosos, then it is good to do the hefsek between them? Or is he going back to what he said originally? He said the best thing is to do it on kos echad. And what's yavam mikulam? What's even better than doing it on kos echad? Doing it on kos echad with a hefsek between them. Aval b'zeach razeh levarech v'lishtos levarech ein zanachon kol ikar. You shouldn't make a second bracha. What the way Rabbeinu Tam understands Rabbeinu Meshulam, and again, I should have quoted you the passage where he totally rips on Rabbeinu Meshulam Shita. But the way he understands Rabbeinu Meshulam is that there's one kos, okay? There's one kos. What do? You make a bori priya gafen on that kos. This is the Rabbeinu Meshulam's yafen mikulam. You make a bori priya gafen, you make a birkas ha'erisin on one kos. Then what do? You stop, you read the ksuba. What is that called? That is called a hefsek. And then you pick up the birkas, the same kos, make the birkas nisuin, make no new bori priya gafen, and drink the kos. Now, in general, when it comes to Hilchos brachos, there's something called a hefsek. What does that mean? That means you need a new bracha. Rabbeinu Tam says, I don't understand what you're saying. You want to tell me on the one hand that it's best to use one kos. On the other hand, you want to tell me that it's best to have a hefsek between the erisin and the nisuin. He says, take your pick, but you can't have both. That's you get what?
No, I got it, but I have an answer.
Hold on 1 second. I'll offer an answer, and then what is Rabbeinu Meshulam saying? What do you want from me? Do you want one kos? Do you want one continuum like you were saying initially, or do you want a hefsek between
what's
them?
The hefsek for? Is that
to read the ksuba?
But what's the point? What's the point of that to read the ksuba? So is that to be a hefsek between Erisim and Nisulin?
It's not a hefsek.
No. Or is just a thing to do, and it's because.
What do you mean, Chaim? Is not a hefsek? But what about the Kriyas HaKsuba?
In your Nechari, that's what he says first. It's in your Nechari.
So I think that's the idea. So in other words,
if I said Kriyashma and I thought about Yitzhak Mitzrayim for 5 minutes and the time of Kriyashma, would that be a...
But I think it's more than that. Why do we read the Ksuba under the Chuppah? Is it really just to create a Hefsek? It's just to kill time? Is that really why we do it? Or is there something more to it? Rosenzweig suggests that it's not just lahafsik, at least in the mind of Rabbeinu Meshulam. Perhaps this is what Rabbeinu Meshulam is going for, and Rabbeinu Tam maybe not. Rosenzweig actually wanted to read this into Rabbeinu Tam also, but let's stick with Rabbeinu Meshulam just for a moment. Reading a ksuba is not just lahafsik between the Kiddushin and the Nizuin. What does the ksuba express? The ksuba is the full expression of what they are supposed to be doing in the Ishus. It's not just, again, everybody's like, why do we read a ksuba under the chuppah? It's about divorce, it's about death. That's what we want to be reading about under the chuppah. The point is, yes, the details are about divorce and death. The broader principle of Shalota Hekala Ba'inav Lehotziah is about what? Is about commitment, is about devotion, is about taking the marriage seriously, it's about the stability of a Jewish marriage. And therefore, the ksuba for Rabbeinu Meshulam, is exactly what you're saying, Chaim, is not a hefsek in the sense of a hefsek behilchos brachos, where you're stopping one thing and doing another. It's hefsek in the sense that it's creating time between the kiddushin and the nisuin. But in a sense, it's the perfect continuum between the kiddushin and the nisuin.
Why do we have to create time between the two?
Because we do want to highlight that they are two separate processes. That's what Tosfos are saying. But what do we do?
Highlight, and if it went almost in one shot, would that be a problem?
What? Would it be a problem if we did them together?
Not together, but one right after the other. What's the problem?
It wouldn't be a problem.
Chavilas
is a little bit different. That's like making two things on one coast. That's part of the one coast or two coasts discussion. But Tosfos assume that it's good to make sure that people know that there are two distinct phases to Kiddushin and Nisuin. So what I'm arguing is that, give me 1 second, Morty, is that the Ksuba is not just a hefsek, but it is actually the perfect transition from the Kiddushin to the Nisuin. It takes us from the level of Kiddushin, which is more of just a almost like a financial agreement, and builds to the level of Nisuin. And that will be, we didn't get to do it tonight, That will be the final element of this sugya. That is the Rambam's position on the relationship between ksuba and nisuin. The Rambam has a number of surprising positions, not just on ksuba midarais or ksuba midarabanan, but on the nature of ksuba as it pertains to an arusa versus a nisua. Does an arusa, after erusin, before the nisuin, does the woman have a ksuba yet or no?
No.
So the Gemara says that she does. But the Rambam says that there are all sorts of interesting halachos that apply to ksuba of an arusa that don't apply to the ksuba of a nisua. And that's something that we'll explore, and hopefully that will close out a broader theme.
Yeah, I saw an interesting Gemara that was the end of this, and you discussed it. It's a weird Gemara that says that if a person marries,
cut you off for 1 second, just to so next week we'll decide whether we're doing Wednesday or Thursday. I'll send out an email to find out who can make it. And we'll close the topic. So maybe what we'll do is we'll finish the Mayer Makomos on the Ksuba and Nisuin, and then whatever we get through, we'll bring in the text of a Ksuba and we'll just go through some of it to see what it is.
Thanksgiving, you know.